Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on, folks? It's your boy Long Beach Joe, and I am back at it, back at it, back at it again. I'm back at it again, man. Listen, we got quite a bit to talk about. The New York Jets have made a big move today, okay? They traded, made a move, and got Hassan Reddick, okay? What a move by Joe Douglas. We're going to be having that discussion, okay? So call in 515-602-9639. Again, 515-602-9639 is the number. Call in. We're going to be having that talk. All right, but go ahead. Let me get into the show because we got other things we got to cover as well, and I am fired up. Listen, I am the man of the people. I'm here for the people. Let me show you to promote my Facebook page. Everyone go on Facebook, search The Long Beach Joe Show. Like that page. My content's up there. Go ahead and give it a listen. Message me. I'll message you right back. I love going back and forth with you folks about this football team. Also, leave me some feedback. I love hearing about what you folks think I do here on The Long Beach Joe Show. Okay? I am also... okay, on iTunes, going over to iTunes, okay, type in The Long Beach Joe Show on iTunes, subscribe to the podcast on there, okay, that's where the podcast audio goes, going over there, subscribe to that, and leave me a 5-star rating, let me know where you, how you folks feel about what I'm doing over here, and again, I want to thank everybody that does that, salute and respect to all of my overseas folks that are constantly hitting me up, talking to me, going back and forth with everyone, please continue to do that, I appreciate all of my overseas folks. And all my listeners worldwide, to be completely honest, even my U.S. folks, all of that, okay? All my Jets brothers and sisters out there, salutes and respect to you, okay? I'm also on Twitter as well. Going over to Twitter, type in at The Long Beach Joe, at The Long Beach Joe on Twitter, okay? Subscribe to the channel, or excuse me, follow the Twitter, okay? And I'll follow you right back. I love going back and forth with you folks on there on the Twitter platform as well. I get into a lot of arguments, okay? A lot of arguments on Twitter. Heated arguments, I have no clue why, okay? But people want to go back and forth with me, and I am open to that engagement. So please, go on over to Twitter, at The Long Beach Joe, okay? Now, for those of you that may not know, I'm so fired up because we're here, we're sitting live. We're also live streaming the show as well, okay? You don't just get the radio portion on Blog Talk Radio / Long Beach Joe Show, okay? That's not all you're getting. You get the visuals, baby. You get to see me, okay? There's a lot of people out there that stumble up on the channel and stumble up on the show, and they're like, Joe, wow, we like the takes. We didn't know that you look so good. And I'll be like, listen, thank you, ladies, okay? Thank you, all right? I appreciate the ladies showing your boy love, saying, hey, Joe, you're handsome. Thank you so much, all right? I'm not an arrogant guy. I just work with what I got, you know? But I appreciate all of you ladies, the beautiful ladies in the world out there. So come on over to YouTube, okay? Check out the takes. Check out everything I got going on over here. Come on over to YouTube. Type in Long Beach Joe Jets. Long Beach Joe Jets on YouTube. All right? Subscribe to the channel. Hit that notification bell so when I post content, you will be in the know. But just keep in mind when you come over here, okay? My chat, they can get real, okay? I call my chat the Savages. You want to know why? They're savage. Listen, man, they don't care. They don't care about me. They don't care about nobody. If the Savages want to let you know about how they feel, they're going to let you know. Okay? Trust me. They're going to let you know what's up. They're going to let you know how they feel, their takes. If they don't like what you got to say, they're going to let you know about that as well. Okay? They are not shy. So salute to the Savages. I have nothing but respect for them. All right? I love going back and forth. And again, as we continue out the show, Dakota J, I see you in the building. Salutes to Jay. Salutes to Christopher Phillips. All the Savages in the chat, all right? And wherever you're watching me from, please give your boy a thumbs up and subscribe to the channel, okay? And hit that notification bell so on a post content, you'll be in the know. All right? So salutes to the Savages again. Please put your questions and your thoughts in the chat. I will come to y'all as well, all right? Now, we're just going to take care of some of the business here really quickly. We're going to talk about the Jets and what they've been doing. If you'd like to call in from a new caller, because some people are a little slow, okay? The number's right there at the bottom of the screen, 515-602-9639. When you call in, just hold on a second. After we get done covering these topics really quickly, I go directly to the lines. The lines are hot, rusty, new callers. I see y'all. I'll come to you in just a second, okay? 515-602-9639. It's at the bottom of the screen, okay? For some of you that may have missed it, it's right there, okay? So you can call in. Just hold on a second, and we'll start. I'll bring you folks in and have that conversation. Keep in mind, I don't allow cursing on my platform, okay? I'll get you out of here fast for that. I'm talking fast, okay? Faster than we got a lot more out of here. That was fast. That was fast, all right? Now, we're just going to start talking about these topics, okay? Now, of course, we know, you know, the New York Jets were targeting Jadeveon Clowney, who actually ended up signing with the Carolina Panthers, two-year deal, $20 million, up to $24 million, though, with incentives. And that kind of had me a little down in the dumps at the time. I'm not going to lie to you, okay? I was really hoping that the Jets would be able to lock him in. They didn't. I said, all right, well, you know, there's other guys out there that, you know, can be made, you know, a New York Jet that can help us there with the pass rushing situation. I'm not really, you know, destroying Joe Douglas for this move. I was hoping to get him locked up, but not. Next thing you know, boom, Joe Douglas makes a big move that just blew that out the water. Joe Douglas trades for Hassan Riddick. Yes! Let's go. Oh, yeah. All right, let's break this down. Now, in this trade, the Eagles receive a 2026 third-round conditional pick. It's conditional, okay? That could turn into a second-rouner if Hassan Riddick has 67.5% play time this season for the Jets, or if he has 10 or more sacks. If none of those two things happen, okay, if he doesn't have 67.5% play time or he doesn't have 10 or more sacks, it remains a third. If he does achieve either of those things, it becomes a second, okay? And, of course, the New York Jets get Hassan Riddick. Now, when I heard this trade, which actually happened today, just a couple hours ago, I was like, man, what a move. Like, I really – for those of you that may not know, it's crazy. The New York Jets ended up with Aaron Rodgers, one of my favorite non-Jets, okay, at the time when he wasn't a Jet in the entire league, right? Then they end up now with Hassan Riddick, another one of the guys that I really have really, really liked over the years that wasn't a New York Jet. I actually wanted the New York Jets to draft Hassan Riddick way back in the day when he came out in the draft, okay? You guys can go look that up. I was talking about this guy left and right, and I really thought he was going to turn into what exactly – he is right now, which is a really good pass rusher. And as we know, the New York Jets have needed consistent pass rush for a long time now. Now, Hassan Riddick is, he's a monster, dude. He's a guy that's still doing well in this league, putting things together, 29 years old. 2022, he's a Pro Bowler. He's also been an All-Pro as well. 2023, he's a Pro Bowler. So he's coming off of, you know, two back-to-back Pro Bowl seasons. He's been healthy, which is a big thing, too. Played all 17 games last season, had 11 sacks in 2023, had 16 sacks in 2022. He was a part of that Eagles team that had that 70-sack season. So here this guy comes with the ferociousness that we need, all right? Now, I've been big, and I'm talking big, on adding pass rush to this football team. And a lot of Jets fans, I don't understand. And again, we'll have that conversation tonight, 515-602-9639 is the number. Call in. Rusty, I see you. 973, I see you as well. We'll be coming to you in a second. A lot of Jets fans seem to discount pass rush, and I don't understand why. When you look at what it can do in this league, right? You look at the Niners, the way their defense is built. We mirror a lot of the things that they do because of Sulla. Well, you got Bosa, you got Warner, you got all these guys that get after Kinlaw, all these guys that they have rushing the passer over there. There's no wonder that they're constantly in the running. They're just coming off of a Super Bowl berth. You know, just this past season. There's no wonder they're constantly, right? They're constantly up there. They're constantly a team that's making a push because they can effectively rush the passer and get after it. The year that the Eagles had 70 sacks, they were in the Super Bowl. The second team that year, it was Kansas City in sacks, they were in the Super Bowl too. That's not a mistake. That's not a – you shouldn't be confused why that happened. That's not a coincidence. In the league that's about passing, which the rules are slanted to allow, you know, the offense the ability to just launch the ball around the field, in the league that's about passing, it's a passing league, you have to be able to rush the passer. If you can't do that effectively, you're going to lose. And what's crazy is that the New York Jets and New York Jets fans have watched us lose for years because we couldn't get after the passer. So when we start talking about Super Bowl bursts and we're talking about, you know, must-win years and Super Bowl or bust years and stuff, the first thing I started thinking was, okay, Aaron Rodgers is back. Our offense should be solid. But we have to be able to effectively rush the passer if we're even going to get out the AFC. You got Herbert. You got Mahomes. You got Josh Allen, who's in our division, who the Bills, to me, are still a team that can push to make the playoffs, right? That's a team that's going to stand in our way. You got C.J. Stroud, who's looking like he's going to be something to really be, you know, something you're really going to have to deal with for years to come. Other quarterbacks, are, you know, Joe Burrow, I don't want to disrespect anybody, but even outside of the AFC, you got Jalen Hurts. I mean, it can get crazy, you know. There's so many guys in this league to get after. I didn't even bring up, again, inside the AFC, I didn't even bring up Lamar Jackson. Like, you have to be able to effectively rush the passer in this league. And you have to have more than just one guy. This isn't 1992, okay? You have to have, like, three guys now to really get after. You have to have that three-headed monster. And that's why I was so upset when we lost Bryce Huff, because Bryce Huff walked out the door for free. We didn't get anything back for him. No picks. We didn't trade him. We didn't franchise him and trade him. He was able to just be allowed to walk out the door, and that was that. I didn't like that. And I like Joe Douglas a lot, but I thought that was a rough move. But I'm not here crying over spilt milk, right? That's done, said and done. But now with Hassan Riddick in the building, it gives us that three-headed monster, okay? Jermaine Johnson, great player, right? Great player. Pro bowler, all good. I'm excited about him. Really looking to see him take the next step and hit home. He only had 7.5 sacks last year. That's the most he's ever had here, okay? I need double-digit sacks from him this upcoming season, right? Now with Hassan Riddick here, it makes the defense even more deadly because now they're going to have to pick their poison. You want to try to figure out, take away Hassan Riddick? You want to try to figure out how to deal with just Quinnen Williams and Hassan Riddick? Okay, cool. Let Jermaine Johnson eat then. Let him have his day, right? That's what it's about. But the guy, outside of just Jermaine Johnson and what it's going to do for him, the guy that I'm most excited about for this acquisition, right, of Hassan Riddick, is Will McDonald. Boy, oh boy. Man, oh man. Will McDonald has been a pick that a lot of people, okay, a lot of people have disliked. And not me. You know, I thought that I was live when that pick happened. And, again, we'll get to the lines in just a second, 515-602-9639, Italian Eddie, JW. I'll come to y'all in a second. I see the savages in the chat, all right? Will McDonald is a guy that was played sparingly last year, was deactivated in games. Before the acquisition of Hassan Riddick, when Bryce Huff walked out the door, Will McDonald was immediately looked at as a guy. He's got to have double-digit sacks. He's got to have a major year next year. Not just that, he also has to have Super Bowl caliber play in year two. That's a lot to ask of a guy that only had three sacks last season. I'm telling you. And I could just feel Jets fans getting ready to go, get it done or you're a bust. Y'all know what I'm saying. Don't act like y'all don't know. Okay. We bleed green. I've been a Jets fan a long time. Don't act like y'all don't know what's up. Okay. I felt that coming, that bust finger right at his forehead. You're a bust, sir. I felt it. I felt it be pointed. Don't do that. All right? So now with Hassan Riddick into the building, I think that this allows us again to let Will McDonald just ease into his second year, where I think he's going to be pretty good. He's going to be able to be used in all type of different ways now sparingly, right? He's going to be able to come in and, again, be able to feast and play off of not just Jermaine Johnson coming in and being freshman. Also, Hassan Riddick, he's got that spin move from hell. He's going to be able to absolutely do his thing, okay? And, again, you're going to have to pick your poison with these situations. So I really, again, like this for Will McDonald. I think he's going to be a really solid player here, but it just eases the pressure off a little bit from him and just allow him to go out there and do his thing. And, again, I think he's going to be successful this year. I think Will McDonald is going to have a very, very solid year for us. So I'm excited about this, and also it shows, hey, Joe Douglas, he knows what's up. He knows that the seat is hot, brother. Like, let's keep it real, y'all. I see the savages in the chat. Y'all know what time it is, okay? we all know there's been a lot of things moving and shaking around here, a lot of things being said. Woody Johnson has come out and said some things, and we're going to be talking about him in just a second. Woody Johnson has come out and basically made it known, like, hey, there needs to be some improvement here. And we all know that this upcoming year is win or get ghost, okay? Win something, get to the playoffs, make some type of move. A lot of Jets fans screaming Super Bowl or bust, but a lot of us at least feel like there's a playoff mandate. Get to the playoffs, win something, or get up out of here. That's pretty much how it's going to go. And this move shows that Joe Douglas has a sense of urgency, and he's making a move. Now, again, I know that there's a lot of Jets fans that don't like this trade, that feel like this was a move in desperation because Bryce Huff was allowed to walk away, and that was that. I'm here to hear y'all out. I would have liked for us to keep Bryce Huff. Again, he went to the Philadelphia Eagles for $17 million a season, but what's done is done. Here we have a guy that's an elite pass rusher as well, a guy that can get after it, a guy that's really solid against the run, and a guy that, you know, still has a lot left in the tank and is going to come in here and help us out quite a bit. Now, he does, you know, have like a pretty much a last year of his deal. He's got 1 year left on his contract, and I think he makes $14 million this season. So we're going to see what happens going forward, but I really, really like the acquisition of Hassan Reddick and what he's going to be able to bring to this defense. Now, there was also a report as well that was put out about the New York Jets. Heated conversation between Woody Johnson and Robert Suller that was swirling. That was reported by Colleen Wolf of the NFL Network. She has since kind of walked back these comments, saying that her comments regarding and surrounding the New York Jets, which she put out on the show Around the NFL, she said that she was not at the annual meeting. And yes, that she was told about the exchange between head coach Robert Suller and Woody Johnson by someone in attendance. She said that there was other people on site Sunday night that have since reached out and described that the interaction, you know, was a bit different than what she reported initially. She said her intent wasn't to break the news. I leave that to insiders, but my sincerest apologies to the Jets organization for the unnecessary distraction during such a crucial part of their offseason. Very, very interesting, right? This seems to be a running theme with the national media and how they report things on the New York Jets. Right? Isn't it kind of strange how there's always something going on with the Jets, unnamed sources? I remember when we acquired Aaron Rodgers, it was all kind of things swirling about that he had to come out himself and put a kibosh to and say, hey, this didn't happen like this. This didn't happen like that. So I think it's very interesting. And as well, Woody Johnson came out and talked about how, hey, there was no argument between me and Coach Sellett and at the NFL owners meeting, and that it was absolutely false. There were multiple people that came out. Connor Hughes as well came out and said that he had sources there that said that that never happened and nobody knew what they were talking about. So pretty strange. Colleen Wolf has now walked back that initial report that she put out. Again, she's a credible, member of the NFL Network, credible reporter, but now I guess that never happened. So very, very interesting. The Jets always seem to be a punching bag for the national media. I will say that. Also, the New York Jets have re-signed Jalen Holmes, the defensive lineman. That's a good player. We all talked about him. He was a guy that was, you know, we saw a lot of flash from him in the offseason, doing a lot of things along the New York Jets defensive line. I'm excited to see him back. We're going to see if he's going to be able to hold a spot here. I really like what he did for us last season. We're also going to talk a little bit about Zach Wilson. For those of you that do not know, I'm here to remind you, he's still on the roster. He's still on the roster, folks. Anybody know that? I know that. And Woody Johnson had some things to say about it as well. Woody Johnson, when he talked to the media at the owners' meeting, Woody Johnson said that Zach Wilson needs a change of scenery, but he's still an asset to the team. What? What?
Bro, what are you talking about, man?
I don't know. I don't know what he was trying to say there. But he continued on and said that if the New York Jets couldn't trade him, if they can't trade him, which they've been trying to, right, they've been very public. They're allowing Zach Wilson himself to seek a trade with his agent, and still nothing has materialized. Woody Johnson went on to say that if they cannot trade Zach Wilson, then they're going to keep him. I've been telling people for a minute that I think Zach Wilson will be here on the roster this upcoming season because I cannot foresee anyone trading capital for him. Mac Jones, Justin Fields, two quarterbacks, right? They ain't Dan Marino. They're not Peyton Manning, right? They're not Tom Brady, but they're better than Zach Wilson. Mac Jones went to the playoffs, led a team to the playoffs before. Also has been in the Pro Bowl too, which is crazy. Look at his fall off. He was traded for a 6-round pick from the Patriots, right? Justin Fields out there is a mess in Chicago, right? But he showed some promise, right? He can move. He can throw. He just, a lot of people think his situation's jacked up. Some people think he's trash. Who knows? But he, to this point, has been better than Zach Wilson. 6-round pick. So if you look at those two guys who have put together better tape and shown better promise, and we'll get to the Lions next, 515-602-9639. When you look at those guys who have put together better tape and better careers to this point, and they're getting traded for 6-round picks, then what in the hell is Zach Wilson worth? He's not worth much. He's not worth much. And especially when you look at the contract, that $5.4 million, a lot of teams not going to want to pay that. A lot of teams clearly don't want to pay that because if there were offers, if there were substantial offers and able to get something, the Jets would have already have traded him. Trust me. Joe Douglas would have already have made that move. Still yet, Zach Wilson is still here. So it's going to be very interesting going forward, but I've been talking to people about this since the end of the season that I believe that Zach Wilson is going to be on the Jets roster this upcoming year. I don't think the Jets are going to cut him either because I don't think they want to eat that $11 million that comes with releasing him. I don't think they're going to do that. That's dead cap. I don't think they're going to do it. But we'll see. We're going to have that discussion back and forth again. 515-602-9639. 515-602-9639 is the number. Call in. We're going to the lines. So many things moving and shaking around, you know, the NFL, not just the Jets. Rule changes, all kinds of things. Hit, drop tackles. I don't know what the heck a tackle is anymore. I don't know. Does anybody else know? Savage is in the chat. Can you tell me? Can somebody tell me how to tackle now? If I was a linebacker or a corner or a safety or, dude, I would just say I'm done with this and go be a tight end or something. Like, I'm just tired of this, okay? I'm just going to the office. It is wild. You can also challenge roughing the passer now. Roughing the passer calls and intentional grounding. Wow, that would have helped the New York Jets this year. How many times did we get screwed over by roughing the passer calls? Whoa, that would have been nice to have in our pockets, right? So we're getting to the lines. Listen, 515-602-9639. 515-602-9639 is the number. Call in. I am taking all callers. Keep in mind when you call in, okay, make sure you have a good phone line. Make sure, okay, that you don't have a bunch of crazy background noise because I will move on from you. If I do not know your name, I'm going to call you by area code, okay? New callers, you have an area. Please know what your area code is, okay? When I come to you and I call out your area code, there's no cursing on my show, okay? No cursing. All right. Curse on the show. I'll get you out of here fast. I'm talking fast. All right. Faster than we got Adam Gaze out of here. Oh, my God. It wasn't fast enough. Right. But it was fast. Okay. Salutes to all the savages in the chat. JW, I see you. JW says we gave up only a third round pick in 2026. Reddick is an all-pro defender in his prime. This is a no-brainer. Salutes. I respect that. Italian Eddie, I see you. Salutes to you as well. He says, is Ashton Davis still available? Any thoughts on re-signing him? He knows the system. I believe he still is available to this point. Again, free agency is moving fast, so don't kick your boy. But I think he's still available. I mean, the New York Jets definitely need some safety help. There were some other guys out there that I want to see the Jets bring into the building. They didn't. But to this point, you know, it's still just Clark and Adams. Here now, and we're going to see what happens going forward. Ashton Davis could be brought back, but I remember that there were some talks about them not necessarily scrambling to re-sign him. So continue to put your thoughts in the chat, okay? Omar, I see you. Salute. I'll come to the Savages in just a second in between calls. Again, the number to call in is 515-602-9639. First caller I'm going to, we're getting to Rusty. Rusty, I'm coming directly to you. 973, hold on. We'll come to you next. New callers as well. Hold on. But we got to get to Rusty, baby. We got to go. Listen, for those of you that do not know, this man, Rusty, He's a savage.
Salutes, Joe. Salutes, fellow savages.
Salutes, Rusty. Listen, the New York Jets have made a move here. We got Hassan Riddick in the building. What are your thoughts about this trade, and what are your thoughts about the capital the Jets gave up? Conditional third-round pick that could be a second if he plays, you know, 67.5% of the time or gets 10 or more sacks. What are your thoughts about this, man?
Well, it looks like JD got that Imodium that we were talking about a week or two or some ago when he got rid of us. So that's a plus. I mean, it's Riddick to get Riddick, you know, pun intended. And that guy's no joke. And people, I heard people like, you know, I guess bitter or just not, I don't know how to, I don't even know if it would be bitter or not, or just trying to make excuses on it, saying, yeah, he did it with the Eagles. But he did it with the Cardinals and those Panthers down in the Carolinas, you know, too. So he's the real deal Holyfield. And
yeah,
I mean, I'm happy with it. It's weird that we didn't just trade, just do a swap with Huff for him, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe they went light on us because we were like, hey, remember that tampering that you did? You know? You know about that one? Let's go talk to the NFL about that and see what, you know, they're like, all right, 2026, you know, we'll take care of you, you know? We'll go light on you. So maybe, I don't know.
Yeah.
JD could be crafty in that type of thing.
Yeah. And so that's kind of how, you know, I look at the situation and I go, I wish that, you know, Bryce Huff would have been brought back, especially again, you know, Hassan Riddick, $14 million left on his contract, 1 year deal. But here we are with Hassan Riddick, who's a great pass rusher, right? An elite guy.
He's
a guy that can still get after it. Oh man, he gets after it. And I mean he's phenomenal. You know, a guy that's a recent Pro Bowler 2 years in a row, like he can absolutely get after it. But for me, what his presence does to this defense is really uplift us. And I want to get your thoughts on this, Rusty. What do you think that having Hassan Riddick does for a guy like Will McDonald here?
Pick your poison. It's like King Ghidorah now, honestly. It's a three-headed monster. It's back. And then you got Godzilla with Q up the middle. So, you know, and it's a crazy rotation, you know, like, and all these guys chase down quarterbacks. They smack you in the mouth. And, yeah, I don't know, man. Hopefully Will can do that same leap that JJ did, you know, that year tour. And how's it doing? Keep it moving. And just start stacking quarterbacks and just gobbling up smacking them around, silly. And then gobbling up running backs, because that was our Achilles heel, was the running back thing. So,
yeah.
To where Huff wasn't the best at, you know, taking that on, in a sense. Riddick is—he's no joke. You're just gobbled up, He was barrel rolling Barkley too a lot, and you know that guy's got quads that rival, you know, like Earl Campbell and Brees. He's a big he's a big dude. So it's on paper now, and it's looking really good for us so far. You know, it's knocking on that wood and on that chest, but.
Yeah.
You know, it's promising. It's a lot better situation than yesterday, I'll tell you that, or this morning or earlier today.
Yeah. No, yeah, it absolutely is. And again, you know, with him moving on from Huff, I was like, man, we need that three-headed monster because all the teams that we're going to be facing, you know, going forward. And like you said as well, what this does for Will McDonald is it really allows him to step into that second year, you know, with a bit less pressure. A guy's going to be able to come in and just really play free, play open. And, again, he's going to be able to play off of a guy like Hassan Riddick as well because, like you said, pick your poison. You're going to have to make a decision. Okay, we know they love to double Q, right? We know that. We all know they say, listen, we're not going to let the fat man eat. Okay, that's not happening. But, okay, cool. Well, now you got to deal with Q. You want to deal with Hassan Riddick? All right, cool. Let's let Will McDonald go off. Let's let him have a day.
Yeah.
And he's going to be able to just completely destroy people. So I love this move from that aspect, especially again.
And it might free up Kinlaw, too. My dad,
yes,
I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, listen, no, you're talking facts. Like, all of these things to play off. And again, and I talk to people about this, you know, consistently. It's like, pass rush for a lot of Jets fans, people just kind of overlook it. Like, oh, well, you know, we can just keep things moving, and this defense is great. This defense is great because we put pressure on quarterbacks. That's what we've been doing, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. And, I mean, when you look at the situation, look at what the Bills did. When the Bills said, hey, look, we're ready to take that next step. We want to move forward. They went and got, you know, their big passer. They went and got Von Miller. They said, hey, we're going to acquire this guy and bring him into the building. We're not going to keep playing around, right? We're trying to make that next step. We're trying to tackle. We know that we got to get after, you know, Patrick Mahomes. We're going to go get another guy. That's exactly what they did. They went and grabbed another pass rusher and brought him in. And here we are in that same mode. Now, as we continue to go forward and we continue to talk about this move and everything, do you think that Joe Douglas being willing to grab that capital from 2026 and give up, you know, that third, possibly second-round pick, do you think that this move highlights the fact that he understands that his seat is extremely hot?
I don't think it's so hot, but it's definitely got some heat to it, you know, for what he's doing. And then, you know, who knows what Rodgers is saying, because, you know, Woody is Woody. You know, he runs his mouth way too much, too, that guy. He should just be keeping it shut, especially talking about Zach like that. And he's killing our trade value with him. So we're probably going to get rid of him on June 2nd when that whole contract thing comes to whatever. But as far as with everything else, I think it's a little warm, but it shouldn't be. Mm-hmm. Like, he's been our best GM we've had in a while. And people jump on him for Becton. When Becton was literally getting hurt, he was a freaking monster when he was a rookie. And he has upside, so who knows what the Bungles do with him. He might resurge his career, and then we're like, oh, there we go. There it is, because they have turf that doesn't kill you and end your career. You know, how about that, Woody? how about you go out and use some of that FIFA money, playboy, and you get some, you know, some real grass instead of giving it to soccer? Like, it's crazy. So, I mean... Yeah, that's what it is with him, man. Yeah, how about that chain?
No,
you get to wear that chain when you get a field, idiot. Like, oh.
Speaking of Woody, I got to ask you about this, Rusty. Now, there was a report that came out about a heated conversation between Woody and Sulla, which came out from Colleen Wolf of the NFL Network. Now, she has walked it back.
Dumb.
She has since walked it back and basically said, you know, that was what I was given by my sources, but it was, you know, it was a unnecessary distraction. And, you know, Woody himself came out and said it didn't happen. Connor Hughes said he had sources there and it didn't happen. So, you know, that report seems to have been, you know, kiboshed and kind of shown to be not true. Give me your thoughts, man, about the way that the media seems to always tag and try to destroy the New York Jets at every corner. And do you foresee a time where the mainstream media will stop bashing the Jets?
I mean, they should. If I was the owner of the Jets, I would rip that freaking turf out and get a field and get something better than an air conditioning unit of a stadium, you know, and share it with the Giants. But, and then on top of it, like, what he really should do is, you know, pick his little marbles up or grapes or whatever he wants to call them. I'll just be polite. And, you know, I would start doxing, like, some of these insiders. They'd be like, okay, you're going to keep on bashing and doing it like this. Meanwhile, no other team's representatives or media outlets, like, this is our own media. It's not like it's like the Buffalo Bills, Barfalo Miserables. I'm sorry about that. I didn't mean to give them credit. But, like, you know, the Patriots, those types of people and scum, but it's our own. And it's like, how do you allow this? And then you're going to give them press passes. And I would start doxing them. I'd start fining them. I'd be like, okay, look, now you're going to have to start paying for your tickets. You're going to have to start paying for your field passes. And I'm going to jack your rates up so freaking high. It's going to be unbelievable. Mm-hmm. I'm actually, you know, happy to hear that Connor Hughes is starting to do the right thing. He got G-checked by, you know, one of our fellow guys and stuff on the podcast. It was pretty good. Ever since then, you know, he's been minding his own. So it's good. It's good to hear that he came out and said some good things about us. And he's like, no, that's malarkey and BS. So
yeah,
but I can't stand it.
I have nothing but love for everyone on the Jets beat. I want to be clear about that, okay? I have nothing but love and respect for Connor Hughes. Everybody feels how they feel, and I respect it. But you know, I look at this situation. And I go, wow, you know, especially as a Jets fan, you follow the team, you love the team, and you're constantly hearing these reports, and then some of them, you know, turn out to have some type of credence, and then you have. I remember years of unnamed sources from a certain person that kind of came out to be false, and it was just a witch hunt with the New York Jets for a while, and you're starting to feel like there's a lot
for
of people
real.
That still want to continue to bring that circus about and continue the nonsense going. So I'm glad that that got cleared up. And again, you know, JD making a big move silenced all those critics as well. But you started to kind of talk about something that I wanted to speak about as well, the situation with Zach Wilson. I keep telling you, Zach Wilson's still here. Yeah, I know that you said you think he's going to get cut. I don't necessarily think that. I don't.
Not
I have
traded.
A feeling that Zach Wilson is going to be here. I don't think they're going to be able to trade him. And you know what's crazy? Woody Johnson himself said at the owners' meetings, okay? And you said he needs to shut his mouth, and I'm going to let you talk.
That's true.
But Woody Johnson said himself, if they cannot trade Zach Wilson, they're going to keep him. He said that. And I've been saying that since the end of the year, right? We've been talking about this. I want you to give me your thoughts about this situation, man. I mean, do you even think that Zach could go be traded anywhere, and for what?
Yeah, I think so. And the only reason why is because in his contract, if he's traded prior to June 1st or prior, then the other team that's getting him has to take on his contract of the $11 million. June 2nd of this year, if he's traded, the Jets eat, I think, only like $4 million or $3 million, and then the other team is paying him, like, you know, Buston Fields money and all those kinds of guys mm-hmm. that got traded and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I think mm-hmm. that we would probably, you know, get like a sixth or a seventh, hopefully a sixth, but that would be great if somehow we worked a fifth in there. And I don't know, maybe he goes to Denver to just for, you know, Peyton just to be like, hey, look what I did, Hackett, you know, some type of thing like that. Who knows? But I think June 2nd or in that month of June, I think we might see him get traded, actually. I really do.
Mm.
And if not, you know, we're going to be eating that thing. So then I guess Woody would be right because, you know, Woody, we're not going to be burying that $11 million. So,
yeah.
But hopefully he's on practice squad.
Listen, salutes to the Savages, Jay Mitch. Salutes to the Savages. Jay Mitch says this right here. He says, Zach isn't going anywhere. Rodgers wants him here. I will say this.
Could be.
I think that could be a factor, right? If they sit down at this point. Now, I hear what you're saying, Rusty. But they have allowed Zach Wilson and his agent, and Joe Douglas said this publicly, this has been put out. They've allowed him and his agent to seek a trade, and still nothing has happened. And I hear what you're saying, a sixth-round pick. But if Justin Fields and Mac Jones get sixth-round picks, Mac Jones has led a team to the playoffs, been to a Pro Bowl. Justin Fields has looked like he has a high ceiling. If those
but he's lost more games
pick,
and had more turnovers than Zach, actually. He really has.
But
honestly.
But again – oh, and I hear what you're saying, but he's also in Chicago, and that team was still
built. Yeah, he's in Chicago.
This is a way. Yeah, he had. Just, and again, I'm not making excuses here. Everyone knows I like Justin Fields coming out of the draft, but I'm not making excuses. Justin Fields did not have nowhere near the defense that Zach Wilson had. Nowhere near the offensive weapons either. They were still trying to put things together.
I can stand
like
Justin Fields, and I'm a Buckeye. Hey, dude, honest to God, man. He stopped us from getting national championships, so I don't like that guy. Dead serious.
Look,
I
hear you. I'm just wondering, you know, exactly what Zach's value is at this point where he's going to go, but we're going to see. Now, before I let you go, Rusty, because I got to slide off, we got other callers. When you look at this team, mainly this defense now with Hassan Reddick being added, what is the weakness? Like, what is the weakness of the defense in your mind? I'll give you that before I let you go.
Probably a little bit, I mean, surprisingly, probably a little bit of linebacker just because Mosley's getting older in age. But, you know, if he still has it in him, he still has it in him. And then our safety spot, I guess, where, I guess that would be, like, probably the safety more so. 6 foot. I want a ball hawk safety, man. And I'm glad that I can't believe I forgot his name. The dude that we got from Baltimore, who's actually really good, but he was hurt
last year.
Chuck Clark.
Which is running back.
God willing, he stays healthy because he is one of them, and he could tackle too. He's not like Jamal, you know?
Yeah.
First
no,
these
listen,
guys,
listen.
Horrendous.
Listen.
Seahawk idiot.
I hear you, Rusty. I hear you, man. Listen, I got to slide off. Next time I have a show, Rusty, I want to hear from you, all right?
Absolutely, Joe. Salutes to you and salutes to the fellow savages. Let's go, Jets, and glad that JD got his Imodium together. Let's get it.
We're going to keep getting to these lines again. 515-602-9639. 515-602-9639 is the number. Call in. We're taking all callers. Salutes to all the savages in the chat. Please give the video, or the stream, excuse me, a thumbs up. Subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. Hit that notification bell so when I post content, you'll be in the know. If you want to give to the platform, Super Chat's there. Cash App is at the bottom of the screen. Anything you give is greatly appreciated, all right? Next caller we're going to, we just lost Omar. Omar, call back. We just lost you. We're going to Chris. We're going to Chris. We got to call. We got to talk to Chris, man. I know he's got some takes for us, all right? We're going to Chris. For those of you that do not know, okay, Chris?
Oh, man. Oh, man.
Savage.
All right.
Chris, salutes. All right, good to hear
what's
from
up?
You. What's going on, man? Listen, Joe Douglas makes a move for Hassan Reddick. All right, what are your thoughts about Hassan Reddick being a New York Jet, man? How are you feeling about the trade?
Well, just in time for the show, right? Just in time for your show, come on. A couple of hours before it, right?
Yep. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Right? That's what I'm talking about. Let's keep this schedule.
Big break on your show, right?
Yeah, I'm connected to the Jets at this point. That's how I feel. Okay, nobody can tell me how to feel about that. I feel like the Jets make moves on my schedule. They know that I'm going to go live. They say, Joe, what? The Joe's got a show? Joe Douglas? Yeah, let's make that move now so your boy Joe can talk about it and talk with the fans.
Right.
And I say, thank you. Thank you, Joe Douglas. Thank you, Jets front office. You know what I'm saying? But give me your thoughts, Chris.
I think it was a great move. I really like Hassan Reddick. I thought that, looking at him last year, looking at the Eagles, I mean, it was a good trade. I mean, is he good? Is he better than Bryce Love? I don't know about that, but he's a great pass rusher. He can rush the passer. He's been in a league where the offensive lines are pretty good in the NFC East, where they got some tough offensive lines, and he's been pretty durable. So, I mean, we got a good player, so it'll only add to the defense and, you know, I want to get a safety. I want to get Justin Simmons in here, and we can wrap this thing up.
Yeah. No, listen, and we'll talk about that safety position in a second because I've been wanting to have that discussion. But when you look at what the Jets gave up, a third-round, you know, conditioner that could turn into a second-rounder, there's some Jets fans I've had discussion when I've gone back and forth that feel like that's too much. That was too much compensation. Do you agree with them?
No, because the teams that actually went for it, and if you can check, well, besides, you know, Superman, Patrick Mahomes, you can look at the teams that actually went to the Super Bowl, and they gave up number one picks. If you look at the San Francisco 49ers, they gave up some really strong picks to get McCaffrey. You know, if you're going to go for the title, if you're going for the title, if you're going for, you know, against teams like Baltimore with Derrick Henry, and you're going against all these other teams, like everybody else is trying to win. So, you know, at a certain point, I'm all in. You know me, Joe. I'm like, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, you know what I'm saying? I look at the songs like there's a Black Sheep song, right? That you could get with this or you can get with that, right?
Or you can get with that.
So, you can get with this or you can get with that. We can get what we want to win. We haven't won in 60 years, ladies and gentlemen. I don't care about what happens 3 years from now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
To be honest with you, I mean, a lot of us are getting older. We want to see a Super Bowl, man. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to be on. I'm just going to put it out there. You know, I mean, we want to win this year. The next 2 years, we got Aaron Rodgers. And let's be honest, right? Even we get a great quarterback, we get a rookie quarterback. Are they really going to be as good as Aaron Rodgers?
I mean, we'll see. I don't think we're getting definitely not getting a rookie quarterback in this upcoming draft. I don't think we're going to be looking at a rookie quarterback until, you know, a little bit later on until Aaron Rodgers getting ready to walk out this door. But, yeah, this is the time. If you're going to make these moves, and, again, this is in 2026, that's why I'm not, you know, going crazy about it either. And, again, even though it's, you know, pretty much a one-year rental unless they can get a deal done with him for the future, I like, you know, I like this move a lot. Everyone knows I love Hassan Reddick. I was hoping that the New York Jets would draft him when he was first, you know, coming out in the draft. I talked about that. I talked about him at nauseam.
Yeah, I remember. I remember.
Yeah.
I remember.
So it's interesting, and I like him being brought on board, especially what he does for the Jets defense. And that's going to be my next question for you, man. What do you think the presence of Hassan Reddick will do for a young guy, a young edge rusher like Will McDonald?
Well, I think, you know, Will McDonald was coming into this year knowing that he was going to be a good count on. I mean, if you look at the guy, look at his band, you look at his pass rushing ability, you know, he's really good, especially off the ball, especially rushing the passer and tackling. I think he's going to be good. I think it takes pressure off. It keeps guys fresh. I think Hassan Reddick's going to be fresh because he played 70% of the snaps in Philadelphia. He's not going to have to play that much in rotation. That rotation is awesome. I wish that we could do that in the offensive line. But, I mean, the defensive line, they rotating, the guys coming fresh, that keeps guys, you know, going in and keeps guys healthy throughout the year. So I think they did a great job with that. I mean, I know a guy, a lot of people were doubting that. How are we going to do a rotation with the defensive line? You know, it working. We keeping guys healthy, you know, and I think that's a great thing, you know. I think it's a great thing.
Yeah, yeah, and especially, again, like you said as well, you were speaking about, you know, Will McDonald and what it does for him. But also, man, it benefits Jermaine Johnson as well. Now we're looking at the situation.
Yeah.
You go up against, you know, these offenses, they're going to have to pick their poison. Because we got a guy in Jermaine Johnson coming off of a Pro Bowl year who's really good. And you're going to have to say, okay, well, look, we can only deal with, we can double old Quinnen Williams. And, okay, well, let's try to stop Hassan Reddick. And now you got Jermaine Johnson going crazy. So it's like Jermaine Johnson is going to be able to feast as well, playing off of a guy of his level, the elite level that Hassan Reddick is playing off of, right, Chris?
Yeah, he's got 10 sacks a year. You can't complain.
Mm-hmm. Double-digit sacks. So I think the last 4 years he had double-digit sacks. That's a fact.
Yeah.
That's a fact, coming off of two Pro Bowl years.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, you got a guy that's a professional pass rusher, a guy that can actually go in there and do his job. And proven.
Mm-hmm.
And right now we need proven. We're in a Super Bowl run. If we're trying to knock off Superman in Kansas City, we need proven players. You know, and even that might not be enough.
Yeah. No, listen.
But,
you're talking facts. Chris, what do you think is the weakness of the Jets defense at this point, man? Because it looks beastly to me. If I was an opposing offense,
yeah,
I'd be terrified.
You know what?
I don't want to have nothing to do with playing the Jets, man.
I would restructure some contracts, and that's why I'm in favor of trading the first round pick for next year and moving up and grabbing Neighbors or Marvin Harrison. And here's why, right? I want to get like a guy like Jets. I want to get. Listen to me. This is very important to everybody, right?
I'm listening.
This is very important. Listen, I know your offensive line dreams, and there's some good guys in the third and fourth round. And when you have the draft show, I'll give you the dudes that are really good, third, fourth round guys that are really good, that can stick in this line and do a really good job. But listen, let me tell you why, okay? Because Sauce, listen to me, seriously. Sauce contract is coming up. Garrett Wilson's contract is coming up. Breece Hall's contract is coming up. Jermaine Johnson is coming up. I don't think you're going to be able to keep them all. And here's the thing. I don't think you're going to be able to keep all of them. And I think the odds, this is what I'm telling you. I mean, rewind this show all you want, right? And I'm going to tell you, if you trade up and you get somebody like that, plus, you can put cap space into another year. You have enough money to maybe pay, you know, Sauce Gardner because he's replaceable. Pay Breece Hall, and then maybe the next year Jermaine Johnson, and then maybe if you draft a number one wide receiver, you can maybe trade Garrett Wilson for a number one pick. But this is why, right? You have
why
to,
would you do that?
Because all people have, but this is no. This is why I'm telling you. This is what I'm saying. If Neighbors is the guy that everybody thinks he's got, you can recoup that number one pick down the line. But in the interim, you go on the Super Bowl run. Plus, you get extra cap space for next year. That number one pick, as we did with Zach Wilson, expensive, man. So you could actually move some of that cap money for that first round pick over to like a contract for Sauce Gardner, because I think Sauce Gardner is irreplaceable to me.
Okay.
Everybody
so,
in that rookie group.
Okay. Okay, Chris. Listen, and I hear what you're saying. Okay. Here's the deal. You still have more than enough time to work out the situation for all of those young guys that you just named, on top of having fifth-year options available for them as well, on top of having a franchise tag that you can use on those guys after the fifth-year option to then keep them just
right.
as well. So it's not like we're going to be struggling to keep those guys on the roster. We're not. Also, a lot of people talk about the cap situation, and we can't be – you guys, nobody knows that because the cap can go up quite a bit. Not only
yeah,
that,
yeah.
but how many years, and I always say this about, you know, people talking about the cap and things like that. How many years have the New Orleans Saints supposedly been in cap hell, and they're never going to sign
right.
anybody, and this is the year, and they end up signing like three or four free agents, big name guys.
But yeah, that's,
every year.
We see this
every
right,
single
right,
year.
So
the idea that we're not going to be able to get those guys signed, I don't believe that. Here's the deal, though. Everyone talking about these weapons and moving up to go get Nabbers and stuff like that. Listen, Nabbers is phenomenal, and so is the other wide receiver. Name escapes me. Marvin, I forgot it. Name escapes me. But you know who I'm talking about. That guy is unbelievable. These are great players, okay? If the New York Jets do not have an offensive line to block for Aaron Rodgers, none of what you're talking about is going to matter. None of it. Tyron Smith and Morgan Moses have an injury history, especially Tyron. That guy hasn't been healthy, fully healthy for a full season since 2015, I believe. The last 2 years, he's played 17 games total combined. The last 2 years combined, he's played 17 games. If he goes down this year, which is more than likely going to happen, you'll be scrambling to find the left tackle to start for you. I don't want to do that. I want to make sure that we have somebody in. Hold on. I want to make sure. Harrison Jr., thank you so much from the chat because I couldn't even. I'm thinking about this offensive line. I want to make sure that we have somebody in the pipeline that we're going to be able to instill and put on the field if need be. Don't talk to me about Carter Warren. He is not good. Not right now.
Okay.
He's not a starter.
Okay.
You all know that. Please stop. Like, Jets fans, y'all got to stop. Don't try to fool me. I watch the games. Okay. Here's the deal. Both of those guys as well, Morgan Moses and Tyron Smith, to this point, they're both on the last year. It's a one-year deal for Tyron Smith and Morgan Moses on the last year of his deal. You better have some way to figure out this tackle position, and why not do it now? It's not like it's a position that's just, oh, whatever. Okay, did you guys watch last year? When you don't have an offensive line that functions, look what your offense will look like. We got a masterclass in that last season, a masterclass in it. Four plays into the season, we watched our season effectively end because we couldn't get guys blocked. And then the rest of the year was your offenses ended because you can't get guys blocked. I am done with that. I'm not playing these games, okay? I'm about protecting Aaron Rodgers 1,000% because with Aaron Rodgers on this team, I believe that the Jets have a top 15, if not a top 10 offense. Do you agree with that, Chris? Just yes or no, do you agree with that?
I agree with that.
I'll give you your time to talk. I will absolutely give it right back to you. Hold on. If the Jets have a top 15 to top 10 offense with the top 10, top 5 defense that we had last year, that's a Super Bowl. You can't convince me otherwise. That's a playoff berth, at least.
Okay.
But that is a Super Bowl team. If the Jets defense from last year, the one that was stonewalling people, dead tired on the field with an offense that couldn't do jack crap, right, was still putting work out there, shutting people down, and was literally just getting gassed in the fourth and still wasn't giving up a billion points. If that defense has a top 15, top 10 offense, bro, they're in the Super Bowl.
Right.
They're in the Super Bowl. I don't need – look, we got – I think the thing is, and again, I'm going to give it right back to you, Chris, because I want to hear from you. I think a lot of Jets fans also forget that we do have weapons. Breece Hall, Garrett Wilson, like Jeremy Rucker is actually pretty damn good. And so is Tyler Conklin, who had a bunch of yards with poop QB play. The problem is, was the QB play. That's why we look like we're trash, like we have no clue to do offense, and our offensive coordinator's trash too. I'm keeping it real. I'm a lay it happen. But with Aaron Rodgers on the field fully healthy, all of that goes away because it's Aaron Rodgers. He's the magic man, okay? So that's why I want an offensive line. But I'll give you the last word, Chris. Go ahead.
So this is what I'm saying. I get what you're saying, right? I understand what you're saying, right? And you're absolutely right. Tyron Smith is a guy that has, Morgan Moses is getting an AVT, and they could all go down. So let's say we get the offensive line portion of the Jet fan. We do what you say you're going to do. I don't want to hear when you have opposite side of Jarrett Wilson, Marcos Vander Scantling, and then Aaron Rodgers brings his boys back, and they're on the team. That's all I'm saying. You say, well, we don't have anybody next to Garrett Wilson, because that's what you're saying. That's what you guys are saying with the people that – even the people that want Brock Bowers, right? I can understand that, the weapons. But if the people say, we must go offensive line, then here comes Marcos Vander Scantling, and here comes the other guy from last year. I forget his name. Aaron Rodgers' buddy. They're both going to be on this team. And as
Alan Lazard?
And this is what you got. No, the other guy, the older guy. I forget his name.
Randall Cobb.
You're going to have Randall Cobb and Marcos Scantling. That's going to wind out your wide receiver room. And like I said, if you're comfortable with that and maybe trying to get a Purcell in the third round, or maybe trying to do something to get somebody, but I think you need to double up. If you're going all in and saying we need offensive line, I think that there's some guys in the fourth round, fourth or fifth round, that's mm-hmm. pretty good.
We got Mike Williams, though, Chris. You're not even talking about him.
Yeah.
We got Mike Williams.
But what you're saying, Mike Williams has ACL last year, and he still won't be ready. He still won't be ready to opening day. So, like I said, I'm a believer. Listen, I'm a believer in this, and I've seen it up here, okay? I believe that good quarterback play, you can mask an offensive line default with good quarterback play. If the guy knows exactly what it is. Now, with the Dwayne Brown stuff, with the exception, he shouldn't have been out there. I guarantee it. He shouldn't have been out there. I guarantee you, if Mekhi Becton was there on the left side, that wouldn't have happened.
But why?
I guarantee
why did
even
that happen?
He may have gotten sacked. But that was Salah's fault for having belief, because he felt loyalty to that guy for bringing him in because he played with a torn shoulder and he came back and everything else. He felt some kind of loyalty to that guy. And you look at the Jets with their loyalty, what they did with Bryce Huff.
Chris, but Mekhi was on the field. Did you watch the second half of the season after that ankle
injury?
No,
I'm saying. Yeah, but I'm
saying
the left side of the team.
With Mekhi.
He was
on the left side, right?
Left,
yeah, but he was on the left
side.
The second half
of
the season, he stunk. He struggled too last year. Especially
but I don't think
down the stretch.
I don't think he lays down and let Leonard Floyd destroy our quarterback. I don't think he does that.
Okay.
I don't think he lays down and tries to do something like that.
Okay. Listen, Chris. I hear what you're saying. Okay, I hear what you're saying. I'm just telling you that the New York Jets need to address their offensive line so you don't have those issues because of what's coming up. We have what it takes. Mike Williams is more than enough at that number two wide receiver spot, all about going forward, okay, and making sure that Aaron Rodgers is healthy and stays upright. But we'll keep having these discussions, okay,
all right,
about the draft. We know that that's coming up. So my next question for you, a Brick City callback. I think we just lost Brick City. Listen, I want to talk to you about Zach Wilson, okay? Woody Johnson came out, had some things to say, talked about how that if they can't trade Zach Wilson, they're going to end up keeping him. I don't think Zach Wilson is going to be traded anywhere. I don't think anyone wants him at this point. What are your thoughts about him in that situation? Do you foresee him going anywhere?
No, and he shouldn't, because look, think about it. If you can't get something for him, you just keep him, and then during the year, quarterbacks get injured all the time, and you can trade him during the season. And you get a little bit more for him, then what's that? Why would you trade an asset when you can, you know, you can trade an asset? Why would you do that? The quarterbacks go down all the time.
Well, I'll tell you what, man. He's gonna be here, okay? I got a feeling. I think so too. I'm not saying. I want to be clear. I want to be very clear. And Brick City, we're coming to you next. Hold on. I want to be very clear, and I, because Jets fans, they often don't listen when you say things. I'm a Jets fan myself. I have conversations. I'm not saying that.
No.
I'm not saying that Zach Wilson is great. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is nobody else wants him, and especially with the owner running around saying the stuff that he's saying, right? Literally publicly saying that they didn't have a backup quarterback and Zach was a backup quarterback. He said this publicly. He's openly disrespected Zach Wilson consistently throughout his time here. When you have that, right, what do you expect? Mm-hmm. So, Chris, before I let you go and get up out of here, man, you look at this situation, right? You look at what's happening here. You look at the movement that the Jets have been doing. One of the things that I really dislike is how the media seems to always target the Jets. We had a report come out about a heated conversation that, so you know, after that really fell apart. Even the reporter came out and walked the comments back. What are your thoughts about how the mainstream media targets the Jets? And when do you think that it's going to stop, man? Brick City, you're next.
When we start winning. When we start winning. You know, when we start winning, and you know, that all that'll stop, man.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're speaking facts. Listen, Chris, it was always great to speak with you. Next time I have a show, draft shows coming up, and we're going to go back and forth. I already know what time it is. But I love talking to you about this football team. Next time I have a show, call in, man. I enjoy speaking with you.
All right, man.
All right. Listen, Chris calling in. Look, I get it. I go back and forth with people all the time. I understand. People want Nabbers. I've heard people talk about Harrison Jr. as well. Listen, Brock Bowers, I'm here for all the smoke. And I know that people are just going, Joe, you're so boring. Joe, you just want to play it safe. Yes. Yes, I do. I want to play it extremely safe. We're Jets fans. We know that this team does not have the best luck. Why don't you want to play it safe? We don't have – I don't know what you call it. I think it's like karmaic something. Something about like – I don't know what it is, right? We don't have the greatest karma here. We don't have the greatest luck. Okay, what will go wrong will go wrong, okay? Let's play it as safe as possible. Let's just make sure that Aaron Rodgers stays fully healthy this upcoming season. That's all I need. I've seen Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, various other great quarterbacks make the players around them better, right? I've seen it. I've seen wide receivers that played with Tom Brady that were great when they were with Tom Brady, but they go elsewhere, and they don't really look like the same guy without Tom Brady throwing him the ball. If you keep Aaron Rodgers healthy, I think the New York Jets have a true shot at the Super Bowl, and I don't want to muck that up. We're going to the lines, 515-602-9639. We're talking to Brick City, and I've been waiting to have a discussion with Brick City. I don't know where he's been. But he's here now, and that's all that's important. For those of you that do not know Brick City, he's a savage. Brick City salutes. Good to see you in the building, my friend.
Sorry, man. I've been battling the flu this past week. Sorry, I won't stay long.
Okay. Well, I hope you know you're getting better, man. I hear it. Gotta take care of yourself.
I'm getting a little bit better. Definitely.
Yeah, get some chicken soup, get some orange juice, you know what I'm saying, and watch yourself. But we've been having this discussion all night, right, Brick City? Hassan Riddick is a New York Jet. Joe Douglas made a trade for him. What are your thoughts about this move, man?
I literally was, like, screaming at work, And I'm excited. You know, we replaced Bryce Huff. I mean, I wish we could have kept Huff, but it doesn't affect us until, what, 2 years from now, the pick? If he was,
yeah,
what, 65%, what is it, like 65% of the snaps becomes a two or
67.
Something like that?
Yeah, 67.5 or 10 sacks or more.
Okay, so we could pull, you know, another Houdini, you know, because I truly believe Aaron Rodgers is not hurt. I'm just saying conspiracy-wise, I'm just saying.
Oh, Lord.
But, think about it. Think about it, you know. We didn't give up that first-round pick. That's all I'm saying.
For
you know?
Those of
but,
you that do not know, Brick City conspiracy theory.
What?
Oh, my goodness.
Bro, what are you talking about, man?
He's
yeah,
a conspiracy theorist. Go ahead, Brick
City. I'm excited. I mean, the guy is a beast. He was a beast in Carolina. He was a beast in He was a beast in Philly. I think he's going to be a beast with us. I'm happy for it. I'm happy. I'm happy for Mike Williams. I like how the draft is going. It can happen anywhere. I still believe if we can't get the left tackle we need, trade down, probably try to recoup a second. Probably get a J.C. Latham, whatever, to sit behind Trayvon Smith, which is needed. We definitely need a backup behind him, somebody that could be healthy and ready to go. We got to keep Aaron Rodgers up straight, people. But yeah, Brock Bowers is cool and all, but can he keep Aaron Rodgers up straight? I think not. I think we got no need Brock Bowers. I want to see what Jeremy Rucker can do. You know, Jeremy Rucker has been in the system. He can catch. He can block. I want to see more from him. Conklin, you know, I think Conklin's going to have a big year. I don't mind picking up another tight end in the later rounds, but offensive line, safety, wide receiver is definitely what we need to do.
Yeah. No, listen, you're talking facts. Now, before we get into the draft and we have this discussion, I want to go back to Riddick because – I really like the fact that once we get him, once he's in the door, right, it solves the issue of, you know, not having that three-headed monster going up against, you know, these great quarterbacks, right, that we have in the AFC. But I also look around and I say, okay, Jermaine Johnson, this is really going to benefit him. But then I looked and I said, man, Will McDonald, this is going to do a world of good for him because here's a guy that was going to have immense pressure on him coming into this year. That's kind of been decided, you know, a bit. He still needs to perform because he was a first-round pick. Of course, Jets fans still want to see more out of him. But it's not as, you know, railing high as it was before. And he's also going to be able to come in, and you're going to have to pick your poison. And I feel like a lot of teams are going to look at Hassan Riddick and go, we've got to make sure that we take him out of the picture. Quinnen Williams, we got to make sure to take him out of the picture. Okay, we'll deal with Will McDonald, and then that's when he can – gain his confidence and show them that spin move and all the things that he has. So I really think that Will McDonald is going to benefit greatly from Hassan Riddick being in the building. Do you agree with that?
100%. He's a leader of men. He has a terrific bend. He can add to the help McDonald add to his pass roster game. It's a win-win for the Jets. I'm super happy, brother. But, you know, I got to go. I'm really not, you know, want to take too much time. I'm really feeling sick. But hopefully when I feel better, I can talk longer with you, brother.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, I want to thank you for calling in, Brick. You have yourself a good one, man, and
thank
get
you.
Better, my friend.
You too. You too. Right. Thank you.
Listen, Brick calling in. I hope he feels better. Listen, that stuff is going around. Y'all got to be careful out here, okay? Make sure, you know, get some good orange juice in you. Get some good chicken noodle soup in you, all right? Be careful out there, all right? 515-602-9639 is the number. Call in. We're taking all callers. I got to get to these savages in the chat, okay? We've been going back and forth for quite some time. It's a lot of people with a lot of things to say going back and forth, about, you know, what's going on here. Jack Kenneth, salute, savage in the chat. He says, I agree. With offensive tackle at first. But what about Bowers, tight end, another weapon for Aaron Rodgers? It's good you're talking about that, Jack. Again, salutes and respect to Jack Kenna, a very well-known Raiders fan that comes on by the stream to talk Jets with us. I understand people talking about Brock Bowers. I get it. I think, you know, Bowers is a great, you know, going to be a very solid tight end in this league. I think he's going to be good. We've seen all the things that he's been able to do, you know, at his squad in college, and he's really put some things together. I know people saying he's the, you know, one of the greatest tight end prospects ever and all that stuff, and I get it, all right? But here's the deal. When you look at where we're at, we're in win now mode, okay? Win now, okay? That's where we're at with Aaron Rodgers in the building. The second that we got him, it flipped the switch and turned us into win now mode, okay? So with that, you want to make sure that, in, at least in my mind, I want to make sure that whatever I get in this draft is going to be able to fix immediately possibly some issues that can come about, right? What can keep the New York Jets from winning the Super Bowl if Aaron Rodgers doesn't play? That kills our chances, because we saw it last season. And even though we have Tyrod Taylor in the building, who I love him as a backup quarterback. I love what he can bring into the building, right? I love what he can do. He's not Aaron Rodgers, okay? And so when I look at the situation, I say to myself, even if Tyrod is here, if we cannot properly protect the quarterback, we're going to struggle, and we're going to be in the same situation that we were last year. That's what we're going to do. And I look at my offensive line, and I go, okay, you know, Joe Douglas went and got John Simpson. Wasn't the biggest fan of that signing, but okay. You know, he's a guy, he's a guy that can maul in the running game, fairly healthy guy. All right, cool. Right? We got Tippmann at center. ATV is, or AVT, excuse me, is coming back. All right, cool. I like that. I like that, right? AVT has an injury history. We're hoping that he stays healthy this year. All right? He's been 2 years. He's been down with major injuries. But then you look at this tackle position, and you say to yourself, Morgan Moses, brought in on a trade, like it. He's on a one-year deal, though. Okay? And he has a little bit of an injury history. But then you bring in Tyron Smith. Tyron Smith has a major injury history. He's also on a one-year deal. And I say to myself, more than likely, okay, more than likely, let's be real, as great as Tyron Smith is, okay, all-pro guy, we know all the work he did out there in Dallas with that star on his helmet, and everything that we're excited about that he could end up bringing to the New York Jets, more than likely, he's probably not going to play the full season. He could end up missing quite a bit of time. There was 1 year recently where he only played 4 games in the season. And I'm saying to myself, when I look at this tackle class, when I look what they have on the board, who we could end up, you know, being able to grab in this upcoming tackle class, right? When you look at some of the guys, and we've talked about it, like there's been so many guys that we've been having a discussion about from, you know, Olufoshanu, right? A guy that could be there for the New York Jets at 10. That could absolutely be there. It's not out of the realms of possibility, right, at all, all right? I'm looking at Olu, who's a phenomenal tackle from Penn State, a guy that you can immediately bring in and is a guy that you can linchpin at your left tackle position. All right, said and done. Let's go forward, if need be, right? Then you've got other guys as well, Talisi Fuaga, who I love too, and I've been talking about him since the end of the season. That guy's a mauler. He's a killer. If he gets his hands on you, he's physical, you're done. That's the end of discussion. There's nothing else to talk about. He's going to manhandle you.
Here we go!
You're finished. You're finished. He gets his hands on you, you're finished. Okay? There's so many guys to talk about, right? Even if the New York Jets trade down, guys like Armis Mims. I've been talking about him too, guy from Georgia. So there's so many tackles, right? So many solid tackles. Why would I pass up on the opportunity to keep my quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, the crown jewel of my offense? Y'all, what kills me about Jets fans, okay, and I have this discussion, and you guys heard it when I was talking to Chris. He said, well, hey, we can go get some guys in the third and fourth round. I've had Jets fans tell me that. Let's go to the third and fourth round and get some guys. Why would I wait until the third and fourth round to address a position that holds so much importance? Why would I do that? A position that is still in need, even though we have guys technically there, because they could be gone. I'm not gonna get second tier blockers, second tier linemen for my crown jewel. I'm not gonna do that. We've been waiting for a quarterback of Aaron Rodgers' ilk for how long now? How long have we been searching for our Aaron Rodgers? Huh, Jets fans? Think about it. How long? How many people have we had here that we were praying would be our Aaron Rodgers? Sam Darnold, Bryce Petty, Geno Smith. You want me to keep going to names? Ryan Fitzpatrick. Anybody remember Christian Hackenberg? What about Mark Sanchez, guys? Do you want me to keep going on with the names? What about more recently, Zach Wilson? Look at how much capital we've literally just thrown away on quarterbacks. Praying for our Aaron Rodgers to show up. Please be Aaron Rodgers. Please. How long have we been doing this? Hell, we're not even asking you to be Aaron Rodgers. Just be solid, okay? Please be our Alex Smith. just be a guy, please. Just be somebody that doesn't kill us, okay? We've been praying for that. How long? For years. And now we finally get Aaron Rodgers, the man himself, the guy. Aaron freaking Rodgers. We got him in the building. And now people are trying to tell me that we should not be so concerned with making sure that he's protected. Go get another wide receiver, even though we got Mike Williams and we got Garrett Wilson. Alan Lazard is cheeks, but maybe he's maybe he's better next year with Aaron Rodgers playing, right? I know he's working out. I've seen tons of footage of him working out. He's working to get himself back, right? Everybody's concerned. Get a tight end. Why? We got Conklin. We got, you know, Jeremy Rucker. By the way, Nathaniel Hackett can't figure out how to utilize a tight end effectively in his offensive scheme anyway. Jeremy Rucker looked solid when he was allowed to go out on routes and actually catch the football. Why wasn't he schemed for more this past season? Who knows? Why didn't we scheme to get the ball in Jeremy Rucker's hands more often? Tyler Conklin put up numbers. Tyler Conklin did his thing, and again, it was poop quarterback play last season. And he still had no business, still had over 600 yards. Why do we need another tight end, folks? Why? Why do we need that? And I understand Bowers is a good player. I get it. I like Bowers. But he's not what we need. He would be a luxury. He would be a luxury. And we don't have the time for luxury picks. Getting a tackle is vital for the New York Jets. At this point, it's vital. Because this man, Aaron Rodgers, who's next to me here, as y'all can, if you're watching the YouTube stream, Long Beach Joe Jets on YouTube, subscribe, hit that notification bell, give the video and stream a thumbs up. If you want to keep him fully healthy, you're going to have to make sure that guys aren't being able to scream around the edge and take his head off, because that's the last thing I want to see again. I remember how it felt four plays into the season, watching his Achilles explode live on TV because we couldn't get guys blocked. I remember what it felt like the plays before he actually got hurt, when he was running for his life. I don't mean to laugh. It's not funny at all, but I remember it like it was yesterday because I was sitting here live streaming with y'all. And he literally was running for his life. Yeah. Scrammage. I remember one of the plays, he ran towards the right sideline. He was almost falling, and he just launched the ball out. He launched the ball to the sidelines to throw it away. And he barely got out of there. And this was before the play where he got hurt. So this idea that everything's fine, we can just get a guy in the third or fourth round, or even people talking to me about starting Carter Warren. So come on, man. Come on. We finally got the crown jewel. Never mind the fact of all of all of your capital that you've given up for Aaron Rodgers as well, right? That first round pick, that second round pick you gave up. You're just willing to waste all of that and not make sure that he's good to go? Aaron Rodgers has shown you multiple times in his career, he doesn't need crazy weapons. Like, he doesn't need that. He needs solid guys, but he doesn't need, you know, four Mike Evans. He don't need it. He's shown you that. That's why he's so great. He's shown you that if you give him guys that are adequate, guys that are right, he can make them better. He can throw guys open. That's why he's great. That's why he's a Hall of Famer. Okay? That's why. Because he raises the level. Even if the guys aren't on that level, he puts them on that level. We've seen it. We've seen it. All right, let me stop talking. I got to get back to these lines. 562, we're coming to you next, okay? I got to get back to it. I can go all day. And we're going to have these discussions. The draft is coming. We're going to have draft shows. Analysts are coming on, yada, yada, yada. But I'm telling you, I am passionate about properly protecting Aaron Rodgers because, my God, what are we waiting for? What are we waiting for? If you're not going to properly protect him now, then when are you going to do that? When are you going to do it? All right? 515-602-9639. 515-602-9639 is the number. Call in. We'll come to the Savages in just a second. Keep putting your thoughts in the comment section because I want to hear from y'all. But we're getting back to these lines. 562, you're looking like a new caller. Okay, we're coming directly to you. 562, give me your name, where you're from, and give me your thoughts about the New York Jets trading for Hassan Reddick.
What's up, Big Joe? This is Bill. I was used to call from Long Beach also. I haven't called in a while.
Hey,
this is a new number.
Yes, it is. Listen, first of all, salutes to you, Bill. It's good to hear from you. I haven't heard from you in a second. But for those of you that do not know, okay, this man, Bill, Bill is a known savage, all right? Bill, it's good to hear from you. We haven't heard from you in a little bit, man. You got new number. Who this? You know what I'm saying? Give me your thoughts, man. Hassan Reddick in the building now, right? Joe Douglas made the trade. How are you feeling about it?
Loving it, loving it, loving it. Everyone was getting all weepy because we didn't get the broken down Clowney in the house. He went somewhere else. But Joe had a trick up his sleeve, just like he always does. I think this is a great fit. This is a great move. I'm going to let go of Huff. Huff had a contract that's, I'm glad he's moved on. He's made his money. But I think with Reddick, you have a guy who is experienced making championship runs, and he's definitely solidified the defensive line as it's a strong point already, but this is definitely a huge, huge move. Also, you know, that takes care of a lot of, there's not a lot of room for starters in the draft anyway, so I agree with you. Sort of like everyone's looking at this tight end position with Bowers. I don't know. I think you've nailed it. I think we're going to see some surprises in terms of offensive linemen getting picked up.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting going forward, and we'll talk about that in just a second because I've been telling people, like, there's going to be some guys, especially, again, there's some teams that I think are going to trade up. I don't know if Chicago is – I know that there's a lot of talk about Chicago being set on Caleb Williams, who's phenomenal, everybody knows, SC Fight On, right? But there's been talks about them trading out, and there's all kind of things that can move and shake. But like you said as well, this offensive line class is going to be very interesting going forward, you know, where they slot, because there's so many of the guys that could really come in and really be solid here. But going back to Hassan, I want to get your thoughts on this, man. One of the guys that I think that Hassan Reddick, his presence will benefit greatly is Will McDonald. I felt like there was a lot of pressure on Will McDonald, especially with Huff walking away. A lot of people were looking at him and saying, listen, brother, you better have, you know, a ton of sacks next year, or they were ready to call them a bust. But I think with Hassan Reddick now in the building, things are going to kind of ease up a little bit for him and really allow him to step into that next year, you know, with a lot less pressure and really be able to do his thing. I feel like he's going to get freed up quite a bit to really win those one-on-one matchups. What are your thoughts about that, man? Do you think that this, the acquisition of Hassan Reddick really helps and benefits Will McDonald in him taking the next step as well?
No, absolutely. Absolutely agree. He is the position, like you said, the pressure is a little bit off, especially with Bryce Huff going, and a lot of fans had a lot to say about that. Getting him in a position where they can get him more snaps, the offensive line can't take any time off when we rotate guys in. When you have Hassan Reddick there, you got Franklin Myers, we have JJ, so it's, you know, you just got four guys you can just rotate in and out like Jets have been doing. You're not having any sort of drop off in pressure, so yeah, this is just you know, this is outstanding. Solidifies that strength on that side of the ball, which we knew was going to be outstanding. So no drop off there. Very excited. And with McDonald, that's the guy who so many people had comments about him coming out because they just didn't know about him. But if you take a look at the tape, you see the guy played, you know, in a defensive scheme on the front side.
Yep.
He's taken on bigger guys. He's taken on guards. He's taken on tackles and guards from the inside, not wide. So he's going head up on these guys, and he would consistently win. So the fans will see next year that this guy is a pick that was solid that we needed. They knew they weren't going to be able to keep Huff. So he was kind of reloading, kind of got him worked in, and now he's ready to go. And we have a veteran off the coming in to kind of back up and fortify that line. So very excited.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, again, Bill, we haven't talked in a second, man. I really want to get your thoughts about some of the moves that the Jets have been able to make in free agency, right? Mike Williams being one of them. I was really big on the Jets bringing in Mike Williams. I thought that was a good move as well. What are your thoughts about his addition to this Jets offense?
I mean, that's what they needed. You know, Lazard came in. Lazard, you know, how he got here, you know, we don't know what was going on in the back alleys talking about Aaron Rodgers pulling strings. Lazard just wasn't the guy. Maybe he's better in the number three role, which he's going to be. But now you have a number one, a true number one, and you have no idea what defensive backs are going to do now. They have to pick their poison. Who are they going to double? You got Williams on one side, and you have Garrett on the other. And then, you know, Lazard can be open over the middle. And we have Mitchell before we have our tight ends already in place who can pick up the – catch the ball also. So, you know, that just is the dimension that the team needed so that, you know, Garrett can get open. Garrett has now an opportunity. Mm-hmm. If he's the number two guy facing the number two cornerback, you know, what does that open up for him? And Mike Williams, you know, he can win on his own any day against any number one. So it's just the dimensions of this offense just open right up. So that is really a catalyst of this whole thing.
Yeah. Now, with him coming off that ACL injury, right, he's talked about this recently. He's probably not – he aims to be back by week one, right? He's saying, hey, I'm going to be ready to go week one for the NFL. Are you concerned about him having to kind of, you know, ramp up in, basically going into the season? I think they're going to try to deal with him the way they dealt with Brees. But, you know, with Brees, he came back before that. He was – I think it was like practices, OTAs or something like that, where he was already back and looking phenomenal. But even he had to, you know, kind of work into the season and get his, you know, win and his feet underneath him. So how concerned are you about Mike Williams coming back from that ACL injury and kind of having to ramp up going into the season?
Well, like you mentioned, you know, Breece Hall came out on that side of the, you know, the same situation. So there's someone in the locker room who could, you know, has been there and he has someone to look to just say, hey, if I just trust in this knee and I don't worry about what, you know, mentally what the issue is. They always say it's a mental issue coming back from that injury. The guy doesn't have to feel comfortable on that knee. So it's just a matter of getting over that hump. But, you know, he's a veteran. He doesn't want to go to OTAs anyway. So most of the time you see those guys going to milk it just so they can kind of, you know, hang out, get a little bit of vacation time.
Yeah.
So I'm not too worried. I think, you know, he'll come back when he's – he already said now he'll be back the first week. To me, that just indicated he's like, yeah, I'm not working out. I'll be good on my own.
Yeah, yeah. What are your thoughts about the signings and also the trade that we made to beef up the offensive line? Are you like – did you like the signing of Tyron Smith? What are your thoughts about the trade for Morgan Moses?
I mean, I think everyone was happy about Moses coming back. You look into that when he left the first time. It was just a situational thing. You know, it was a matter of, like, maybe there was some more politics than it was actual on-the-field performance. So bringing him back is huge. You know, that's a situation where everyone's comfortable. They know the guy and the management side. So I think they'll be able to implement it and have it, you know, have that secured on the right side. On the left side, I mean, Smith has always been a player I just think anybody would covet. That guy is mentally tough, physically strong.
Yep.
You know, the questions about him coming back, I don't think he has an issue with that. You look at his background, the guy's overcome a lot in his life, and he's always been a top performer. He has a lot of pride. So, and I think also he's a chip on his shoulder because if you read about the whole Dallas thing, he was not happy the way that negotiation went. So I think he's coming in with a chip on his shoulder. He's thinking Jerry Jones was doubting him. So, you know, we have a whole, you know, we got a whole team of guys who just have that chip on their shoulder. So I think that is going to be solid. Gives a lot of flexibility in the draft. Everyone's concerned about, you know, where do we need to go in the draft. And so now I don't see a need on any position really at this point.
Mm.
So I'm very excited. And Joe has, like you mentioned, he's got a lot of levers he can pull.
Yeah. No, listen, he does. There's a lot of options that he can have. I would like to see him go offensive line at 10, but he could trade back and still grab, you know, some solid offensive line help that could be around in the first round as well. A lot of people talk about
late. Let me ask you. Yeah, if he's at 10, and if he's at 10 and all offensive linemen are there, who would you pick?
If he's are we talking about all of them, like Alt and everybody else?
Oh,
I'm
everybody.
Taking Joe Alt. I would run so fast to the podium and scream Joe Alt. I wouldn't even go to the podium. I would be screaming Joe Alt. They would hear me from California. I'm telling you right now, they would hear me. Joe Alt, who was that? Yeah. Oh, and he would just come across. I would literally grab him and put him in a Jets jersey. I would grab him, throw him in the car, and just drive off. He would already be at the facility. He would already be at the facility. They do a shot to the, you know, pan to him at the seat. It'd be nobody there. Where'd he go? Oh, he's already in a Jets jersey. Already having a hat on a plane, everything. We already there. They cut to me in the plane. What's going on? You guys didn't know Joe Alt. He's a Jet now. You guys didn't know that? That's what I do. I'm taking Joe Alt all day. I'll take him all day. But, yeah, so that's my guy. I mean, what are your thoughts about that? Like, what is your preference there at 10 if they're all there?
I don't know. I don't know. I have to take a look, you know, because I've just started kind of looking at some of these guys. I looked at them during the season and right after the season. And, you know, you start hearing about the combine and whatever the rumors are, and hearing the stuff about Fashanu and concerns here and there. So I want to kind of take a fresh look, fresh eyes, and go back and look at everything. I don't think Alt is going to be there at 10. But if he is, I have to factor that in. But right now, I'm kind of with you. I think it's such a strong class. So when you take a look at the depth, and especially when you have a situation where you don't have to, you know, and injuries happen. We've had injuries, and we know they can happen. But in case you don't have injuries, you think if you pick a guy at that point on the for offensive line, you could develop and get him really ready after a year, have that luxury. Yeah. I mean, the sky's the limit. So, if like you said, we trade back, like get back a few, maybe 15, 16. I'm not sure who's trading there, who's picking there, but. You know, there's still a lot of guys in that range that they could pick up and let sit for a year behind, especially that Mims. Mims is so young. Mm-hmm. He's only had about a year in there. I'm not sure about his injury history, but just any player can just season and sit behind Smith and be there with Moses and learn from Aaron for a year. And even someone that he needs to get called in the service, you know, if they're good enough to go in there also. But I think it's, you know, we'll see what Joe does. Very interesting to see personally, you know. It's just a lot of good options. You know, I can't pick one right now, but a lot of good options.
Yeah, listen, I'm telling you. And I mean, there's been a lot of talk. Like I said, I don't think it's out of the bounds that Alt could be there, especially, again, if he gets past Tennessee. And Tennessee is, I think, the team that could end up taking, you know, an offensive tackle, you know, if they're there. But they spent a lot of money on their offensive line. If he's there at 10, I'm grabbing him. But honestly, I think if he's gone, it'll be the Tennessee. But Olu is probably the next guy. I would take Olu or Fuaga, right? If Fuaga's there, I'm definitely taking Fuaga. I'm not going to let him go. And I understand, you know, we have these offensive linemen, but I also, like you said as well, one of the things that I'm looking at is the future. Both of our offensive linemen, our tackles, excuse me, both of those tackles, this one-year deal, basically, right? Both of them could be gone next year. Morgan Moses, last year of his deal. And Tyron Smith only has a one-year deal here for us. So I'm taking somebody so that when it's time to move on, and Aaron Rodgers is supposed to be here for at least two more years, so when it's time to move on, I got one more year with Aaron Rodgers to make that run again and win a Super Bowl if we don't win it this upcoming season, or, you know, get to that Super Bowl and figure things out. So that's what I'm about there. Yeah, that's a great
when
question.
When you talk about these fans, they're going crazy. Yeah, they're talking about, like, who to pick at 10. And they're talking about who to pick at 10. And, again, I don't see – There's not a need. I mean, there's not a need to just say, I'm just going to go and get a guy and I'm going to plug him in where at 10. You know, you get a guy who's top quality and just have him learn in what position is better for that than offensive lineman. And some people talk about Bowers for the tight end. It's like, I get it. That's a guy you can, you know, maybe give a year to learn. But I don't really think there's a huge need, like you said, like when we need to get offensive linemen for the future. And I think Joe's going to see it that way. And a lot of people are going to be upset because all the media has been talking about Bowers. And everyone just automatically assumes that's what's going to happen. But, you know, these media guys don't know anything. You look at the last draft. You know, like, I think Mel Kiper got one right. He got the first pick right, and everything else was wrong after that.
Yeah.
I think everybody got the first pick right last time with Bryce Young. We all knew that. But after that, fell apart. So, you know, you never know what these guys are going to do. Joe is definitely an offensive line guy. I think he was, you know, going back for a couple of years, you know, he would have preferred Penei Sewell. You know, he didn't. We got we got Zach, but he's an offensive line guy, inside out. He's going to work that. And I think also the fact that we traded Hassan Reddick for a future pick just shows – I don't think they're really on the hot seat like everyone's saying for Joe. I think he's not – it's not a make-or-break season next year. People have been saying that.
Really?
I've been saying on social media, getting hammered, that I don't believe this is make-or-break because, yeah, they're not going to – they're going to let him trade future draft picks, you know, especially that level, potentially a second round in 26 if he's not going to be around.
Mm-hmm.
I think Woody understands it. Like, you know, it's just he had Aaron Rodgers get hurt, he had all these issues happen. And, you know, who are going to get better, especially like Joe's a riverboat gambler. The guy just, you know, he just takes him to the woodshed with every trade. He's a valuable asset. It's just a matter of you got to have guys healthy on the same page. You have to have an actual quarterback, and then, you know, we'll see what happens. So,
no. Listen, I hear you, Bill. I don't know. I'm of the thought process that the seat is hot. And
I hear people saying that.
Here's my outlook on it. And I do respect your perspective. Here's my outlook on it. And I talked about this when the season ended, that Joe Douglas is going to be more willing to mortgage capital from future drafts than he's ever been in his time here. And I think we just saw that. And it's because, I'm not going to say desperation, but I'm going to say the sense of urgency. He knows what time it is because you got 2 years with Aaron Rodgers, right? 2 years left. Well, he got hurt the first year. You got 2 years left. If you do not make something move and shake this upcoming year, especially, again, people forget, Aaron Rodgers' contract, yeah, he gave away $30 million, but we still got to pay him some money, like, on the back end. Things could get rough. Well, again, we'll see how to negotiate that situation. But if you don't get something moving and shaking soon, if you do not prove that you can do something with this team coming up and really get it rolling, I think Woody Johnson would be more than willing to fire him and Sulla, both of them.
Don't take it.
I mean,
when this time next year, when those guys are still laying around, man, they're still going to be around. I'm telling you.
Okay.
No doubt.
Okay. I hear you. But I'm telling you.
That's just me, though.
The comments that Woody has been making, and he's been running his mouth publicly, and I want to get your thoughts on something else as well. He has not been shy. You know Woody. He ain't been shy. And especially with the public pressure that can come on, if the Jets completely miss the playoffs this year, and I'm talking about not even close, I mean, the public pressure and scrutiny, if Jets fans start coming out saying, we're not going to games because you guys are trash, oh, he'll pull the plug. And then that's why I think that Joe Douglas is doing everything. He's not going to do something crazy stupid, right? That's just not who he is. But Joe Douglas is definitely, I think he definitely realizes, and again, I think Robert Sulla as well realizes, like, listen, we got to be, you know, like, it's got to be something. Either we're going to poop or get off the pot. But talking about Woody Johnson, right, Bill, because you were having that discussion, Woody's been coming out and saying a lot of things. And one of the guys he's been talking about consistently this offseason is in Zach Wilson. He talks about Zach Wilson needing a change of scenery but being an asset to the New York Jets. I don't know what the hell that means. Then he went on to say that if the Jets can't trade Zach Wilson, they're going to end up keeping him. I've been a big proponent of saying that I don't think Zach Wilson is going anywhere because we can't get anything for him. And I think he'll be on the roster this upcoming year. What are your thoughts about the situation with Zach Wilson? And do you think that he actually he'll actually end up getting moved anywhere? And if so, where?
Joe, you read the newspapers. You also saw the comment. I know you probably saw it where they said that there have been offers for Zach. But the team said no. Now, who do you think said no? I think it
Bill.
Was Joe? Who do you think said no?
Bill.
Yes, sir.
Keep it real. Let's keep it real. If there were offers for Zach Wilson, keep in mind the New York Jets, right? You know what's up. They've come out. Joe Douglas himself publicly came out and said they've allowed Zach Wilson and his agent to seek trades. If they can get anything for Zach Wilson, I'm talking anything, a half-drinking Gatorade and a bologna sandwich that was out in the sun. If they could get that, they would have been got rid of him. Mac Jones Justin Fields.
I don't know.
Mac Jones and Justin Fields both got traded sixth-round picks. Mac Jones was in the playoffs, I think his first year, and he was a Pro Bowler, sixth-round pick. Justin Fields clearly shown that he could be better than Zach Wilson, sixth-round pick. If those guys are worth sixth-round picks, then what in the world is Zach Wilson worth? He's been benched 3 times, right? Has publicly got up and admitted that his confidence is completely shot. No one seems to be able to know how to fix him or what type of offense he can work in and be functional in. Nobody, not even our offensive coordinator, who is trash, but he can't even figure out how to utilize him. And then you got the owner, Woody Johnson, bashing him every second that he can. He told the media a couple of weeks ago, we got to address the backup quarterback position. We didn't even have a backup quarterback last year. Who was the backup quarterback, Woody? What are you doing? What are you doing, Woody Johnson? So
he doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah, I personally, this is just me, Bill, and I'm listening to you. I don't think the Jets got much of an offer for him. I don't.
Right. But the bologna sandwich you said they would take, they should have taken that. They didn't even get a bologna sandwich. Yeah. they didn't even get the bologna sandwich. I honestly, you know, I am of the, I've been of the long time conspiracy theories that Woody, the reason Zach is here is because Woody made them draft him. The reason I say that is because going back
to
the draft, going back to that period of draft, remember, right, we just were trying to get a head coach, they were interviewing everyone, and then remember, Woody was the ambassador to England. So before he came back, you look at the draft guides, nobody knew who just going to take it to there. Are they going to trade the pick? Are they going to get Sewell? Are they going to get the Zach Wilson? Are they going to get Justin Fields? Nobody knew. Everybody was speculating. You couldn't find two people with the same opinion. When Woody got back, I think it was like January 21st, after that, every draft guide had the Jets getting Zach. How is it that suddenly, before it was like all this mystery, nobody knew, we're trading, and Penny Sewell, all of a sudden, everybody, I couldn't find anybody who would say that there was anybody but Zach. And I'd ask, I was like, hey, why is everyone so sure of that? Why is it there's no questions? Oh, the Jets are going to take him. Well, do you think he's the number two guy? Everyone, no, he's not number two. I wouldn't pick him, but the Jets are going to pick him. I'm like, why is everyone so convinced they're going to pick him? Talk to some guys, and it seems like in the industry, everybody felt like it was a Woody called the shots because of, you know, whatever's going on. He said he wanted Zach. So that's why I don't believe that the seat's that hot, because at the end of the day, I think you got Joe D and Saleh are looking at Woody, and every time something happens, like, hey, you know what? This wouldn't have happened if you'd let us pick Penny Sewell. I don't know. I mean, I got my tinfoil hat on, but it just makes sense to me. And so, you know, at the end of the day, when you talk about Woody, you know, he can't trade Zach and all this stuff. And now he's like, oh, well, we'll just keep Zach. He's trying to save face. It's just his boy. He will not let – they fired LaFleur because he said he was told us the truth about Zach. They got rid of Moore because he told us the truth about Zach. You say something about Zach, you're gone. So it's like, that's why I'm like, at the end of the day, he's going to be on the roster because nobody wants him. And even if they want him, I don't think they're going to let him go for a seventh because Woody's ego and somebody who Woody's buddies with on the golf course wants Zach there, and he doesn't want to make him look bad. So he's going to be on the roster. Nobody wants him. We all know, like you said, he's not the guy. The biggest issue, this is what I don't understand, when he got benched and everybody else was trash and we went back to him, that was the kiss of death. Because I think if we just benched him and went with whomever we rolled out, they could have got some value for Zach because, you know, he had some okay games, but they could just blame everything else. After he went back in and everyone saw that he was horrible, there was no shot for the guy. So, I mean, it is what it is. He's there. They're probably going to have to draft somebody on there. I don't know who's going to be. It's going to be A-Rod. We don't have another quarterback on the roster right now, so it's going to be Zach, and then they're going to have to draft someone maybe.
Yeah, we got Tyrod. So Tyrod's
going to be Zach. That's right. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
No disrespect. Yeah, I love him.
Yeah, I personally think that Zach is going to be the third-string quarterback this upcoming year for the full season.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be on the roster. I've talked about this. I don't think I don't think anyone wants him. And I could be completely wrong. Savage
right.
salutes. I don't think anyone wants him, though.
Yeah.
I just
they've
don't.
Seen too
but
much,
I
they know. Everybody knows.
Yeah. I hear your take. Now, my final question for you, Bill, before I let you go, you've been bringing some heat, man. We heard a report from Colleen Wolf, NFL Network, that said that there was a heated conversation between Woody and Sulla. Things were awkward. It was at the NFL meeting at a setting where you could see that there was a heated discussion between them. Things got awkward after. She has since walked it back. and talked about how, you know, she didn't want to create an unnecessary discussion, but that was what was told to her by, you know, someone that was there. Connor Hughes came out and said that he had sources there that told them that never happened. He even had sources at another, you know, spot and location that said we were there too. That never happened. Woody Johnson came out and said that the argument never happened. So this whole report and thing has been kind of kibosh. But what annoys me, right, is how it seems like the Jets are always a target for the mainstream media for things like this, right? Even unnamed sources. We remember that, like, way back in the day, there was a guy that used to have a bunch of unnamed sources in the Jets locker room that was just constantly, like, pumping out constant negativity. And we've been hearing a lot of leaks from the New York Jets in this situation. Mecole Hardman came out and said a lot of stuff about the Jets as well more recently. But I want to get your thoughts. Why do you think the Jets are such a target for the mainstream media? And when do you think that the bashing of the New York Jets will end? Do you see it ever coming to an end at all?
No, never come to an end. You know why? If we can win the Super Bowl. I think the issue, you know, we're New York and L.A. Those are the two places everyone hates because everyone wants to be here. Everyone wants to be in New York or wants to be in L.A. So, you know, you have the rest of the country just waiting for the downfall, waiting for every opportunity to say, oh, look at them, look at those guys. You know, and it's easy because the history of the Jets over the last, you know, 20 years, 10, 15 years has not been the greatest. So they just pile on. You know, you hear so many people in the media, and it's really shocking how they kind of just speak about the Jets with such derision, like they're just hapless and there's just no chance of any chance of winning it. Like this, it's really interesting, especially given all the injuries. They want to just ignore everything that has occurred. You know, we had Gase was there. You had Panabon. You had these other issues with management. It's just every other. You know, one team wins the Super Bowl every year. You look at the history over the last 10 to 15 years. And the Jets have not been great, but I mean, there are other teams that have been horrible also. No one else takes the heat, but it's just, I think, because everyone hates the big city, and they hate the city slickers, and they're just jealous because we have, you know, all of our teeth, and, you know, we live in the lifestyle they wish they had. So, I don't let it bother me, man.
I didn't say that. Listen, Bill is talking that talk right now. I did not say. You know, I'm sure people out there have decent dental, but we do have all our teeth out here. I'm just showing respect to Bill. He's talking that talk right now, and I'm letting him talk. Listen, Bill, it's phenomenal to speak to you. We haven't spoken to you in a while. Next time I have a show, I want to hear from you, man. It's always good to talk to you about the New York Jets.
Yes, sir. Thanks so much. Take care, man.
Absolutely. You have a good one, man. Bill said they mad because we got all of our teeth. Hey, listen, I didn't say that. That's not. That's not what I said, okay? But, you know, Bill speaking his mind. I'm just here to listen. Do you have all of your teeth? That's a question you got to ask yourself if you're hating. You know what I'm saying? Maybe that's what it is. Salutes to the savages in the chat. Jay says, salutes to Jay. Good to see you in the building. He says the Jets are always getting disrespected by the media. That's a fact. Salutes to Dakota Jay. He says, tremendous and huge trade delivered by the man, JD. He says, staying up all night celebrating the Riddick to NYJ. Salutes. Always good to see you, Dakota. Man. What a show. This has been a hot show. We're going to bring a close to the show. Do you have your teeth? Do you have all of your teeth? Okay. If you don't, please go see your nearest dentist. Okay. Please. All right. Plenty of them in the big city. All right. All right. Listen, it's been a phenomenal show. We got to close it out. I am the man of the people. I'm here for the people. Let me shamelessly promote my Facebook page. Everyone go on Facebook, search The Long Beach Joe Show. Like that page. My content's up there. Go ahead and give it a listen. Message me. I'll message you right back. I love going back and forth with you folks about this football team. Also, leave me some feedback. I love hanging out with you folks. I think I do here on The Long Beach Joe Show. All right? I'm also on Twitter as well. All right? Go on Twitter. Type in at The Long Beach Joe, at The Long Beach Joe on Twitter. Okay? At The Long Beach Joe, okay? Go ahead and follow me. I'll follow you right back. You want to troll me? No issues. I am the troll that lives under the bridge, and I will have my Vera Tucker jersey on at all times. At all times. Okay? AVT going to be back this year, and he going to show y'all what time it is. You know what I'm saying? Because that's what we do at SC. We put on and we handle business. Fight on, okay? So come on by, me and Vera Tucker. We're going to troll you, all right? I'm also on YouTube as well. Come on over to YouTube. Type in Long Beach Joe Jets. Long Beach Joe Jets on YouTube. Subscribe. Hit that notification bell so when I post content, you folks will be in the know. Also, give the streams and videos a thumbs up. Also, share them across your social media with your friends and your family, all right? Got to get the show out there, you know? And if you want to troll me, get in those comments, all right? And I'll go back and forth with you there as well. And as always, people, when you see me in person, because you will see me in person, I'll be outside. It is arms out, chest open, free hugs for everyone. Free hugs for everyone that cost you absolutely nothing. I want to thank you folks for taking the time out of your day to call in, to interact with your boy. Salutes to all of the savages in the chat, okay? Any way that you interact with me, whether you call in, whether you talk to me on the chat, whether you anything that you do, I want to thank you for that, all right? Again, without you folks, I'm absolutely nothing. Thank you for taking the time out of your day to engage with me, all right? So until the next show, you folks have a good one. Peace.